Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Snapchat and Instagram are popular social media sites for teens, but the sex advice offered on those sites is often faulty and can put young adults at risk. Here with the details, InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Eric Anderman, professor of educational psychology at The Ohio State University and co-author of a study on why some social media sites are linked to risky sexual behavior in young teens. Professor, your study lists five social media sites geared toward teens interacting with peers, that is Snapchat, Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, how did these interactive sites impact teens' behavior related to sex?
So what we found was when teens used those particular kinds of sites with the specific goal of trying to get information about anything related to sexual well-being, sexual health, sexual risk, over time, over the five waves of this study, their intentions to have sex. So we asked them, you know, how likely are you in the future, you know, to have sex? Those increased. And we also looked at their ability to negotiate the use of condoms, and that went down, which is not a good thing. You want that to go up. And we also finally looked at their ability to refuse unwanted sex. So if a partner is trying to push them to have sex and they want to be able to say no, their self-confidence and their ability to do that went down. The interesting thing was, though, that for the refusal, it actually didn't go down as much. It was higher if they also used an informational website. So that kind of buffered the effect.
And your study, in fact, did compare these interactive sites to several others viewed as more informational, which include YouTube, TikTok, and Google. Now, what more positive outcomes occurring for kids seeking information from these sites did you note?
For that, we noted increased condom negotiation efficacy. So that was their ability to, again, with a partner, negotiate the use of a condom, insist on, if we're going to do this, I'm going to use a condom. And all of this happened for students who were already being exposed to a medically accurate curriculum. So this was over and above that.
Give us an example of some of the false messages that these interactive sites might be more likely to amplify.
Oh, there's all kinds of messages out there. I mean, the interactive sites, you're actually interacting in many cases with peers who may be giving you false information. For example, they may say, oh, you can't get pregnant the first time you do it. Or they may be recommending forms of birth control that may be less effective than they're purported to be. So just all kinds of information that just interacting with peers or whomever happens to be on the other end might provide you with.
So do kids hear one thing and take it as gospel, so to speak, or do they look at multiple sources and fact check?
That's a great question. Some of them do, some of them don't. I mean, that's one of the things that I think we really need to do a good job in this world of social media and with artificial intelligence of teaching students how to be consumers of all this information and how to fact check. The Google generation, you know, you see it on the web and you just assume it's true. Even informational websites don't always provide accurate information, but the interactive ones seem to be where there really are problems occurring with regard to the outcomes we looked at.
Let's drill down on that a little bit. I think some of our listeners might be curious to hear you include TikTok as one of the informational sites. There's so much conversation about sites that are ruled by influencers, and we don't know if they're influenced by any business relationships that they may have. How reliable a source, in general terms, would TikTok be? How informational is that?
Well, it was classified as informational because for the most part, you're watching something, you're watching a video, but anyone can post something on TikTok. And many of us, I've looked at TikTok and there's all kinds of things up there. And, you know, most of the videos are probably not videos put out by MDs or the CDC about sexual health. TikTok, you know, there are algorithms and they direct people to see videos that are in whatever they are interested in doing. So they're, you know, quite likely going to be listening just to other adolescents who are giving them advice on what they should and shouldn't do and what is and isn't safe.
We're visiting with Eric Anderman, professor of educational psychology at The Ohio State University and co-author of a study on why some social media sites are linked to risky sexual behavior in young teens. The journal Health Psychology published the study. Now, your study looked at 7th and 8th graders from 21 urban middle schools in the Midwest, and they were enrolled, as you indicated a moment ago, in a curriculum at school on sex called Get Real. Professor, why aren't curricula like these convincing enough so that kids believe the information they bring rather than what's on the interactive sites?
That's a great question. They are convincing, and the students do learn from these. So overall, students who were exposed to the curriculum did improve on a number of these outcomes. But what also happens is they're not doing this in isolation. So, you know, they're then using social media throughout their lives when they go home, in between classes, all the time. So what seems to be happening is that this use of social media, particularly the interactive type, seems to, in some cases, I wouldn't say override completely the curricula, because what we found was that there were some really good things that happened for kids who were exposed to the curriculum. But when they used interactive social media, that diminished some of the positive effects a little bit.
Professor, do you think schools are providing enough sex ed and early enough to help children make good choices?
Well, to answer the second part of your question first, early enough, I'd say no. What was unique about our study was we were actually doing this with middle school students, with students in the 7th and 8th grade, which isn't always typical. Often students get this kind of information in the 9th grade. And data show that by the time students are in the 9th grade, many of them have often already engaged in unprotected or risky sexual behavior. So in terms of whether or not the schools are actually doing enough of this, you know, this varies so much by state. Some states have health standards for what should be taught in school. Some states do not. Some districts offer this. Some districts do not. And a lot of this has changed in recent years, with parents arguing that schools should or shouldn't be teaching certain content. So it varies tremendously by school, both in terms of what the curriculum that's being taught is, whether it's being taught at all, and the age at which it's being taught, and who's doing the teaching.
And indeed, we do have a lot of parents listening to this show. How would you counsel parents on what to say when talking to their young teenagers about getting information about sex on social media?
What I would say is, if they want to get that information, that there are some places that probably are more accurate than others. And I would gently warn them that there are a lot of sites and a lot of sources out there that give incorrect information. One of the things that we know from research is that when parents actually talk about these kinds of things with their kids, often the kids will listen. So my advice would be, I know you're probably curious about these things, and there are certain sites, and let's look at them together just till you find them, to make sure you're looking at sites that are reputable and that have, you know, reasonably accurate information. An adolescent realistically is not going to want to look at the site probably with their mom or dad. That's going to be awkward. But helping them at least to guide them to the right places is a huge step in the right direction.
Professor Eric Anderman, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.